Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
After a unexpected day off yesterday, we're back for the Thursday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and of course with me is, well, the only guy I know who spends more of a week on month than Mike Tyson, and that would be Dan the Man. Now, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, even though we had the trouble with doing the podcast yesterday, the new blog did still go up over there. So swing on over there, check it out, see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at First Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan, three.
So, yeah, Dan, you know, I thought this was hilarious yesterday, and I don't know if you caught this one, but Mike Tyson, I guess he has a podcast as well. They call it Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson, and he went on there and said that he spends $40,000 a month on weed. How much weed is that, by the way?
A while.
So, you know, and obviously it's not all for himself. You know, I believe, being that it's Mike Tyson, I'm sure some of it is medicinal. But, yeah, I just, the number to me was just kind of outrageous, and I wasn't sure Mike Tyson was still making that kind of money.
You never know what he's invested in.
Yeah.
All I can say is I wish I were the owner of the business he goes to.
So, yeah, well, you know, I know that was one of the things they talked about apparently on this podcast was the fact that I guess they're looking into growing their own, would be the way to put it. I'm not quite sure where he lives and if it's legal there yet. But, yeah, I kind of thought that was amazing. You know, here some of the quotes are, we smoke 10 tons of weed a month at the ranch. This is according to Evan Britt, who's a former NFL player turned marijuana advocate, is what they call him in this article. What's it say? It says the Tyson Ranch, the boxer's forthcoming 40-acre marijuana farm and resort. So there you go, Dan. You want to book a trip to Mike Tyson's resort?
Well, maybe that's why he spends so much, because it's part of the expense of the resort.
Let's see, just some more information here. It says Tyson's Ranch sells 9 strains of cannabis flower, potent extracts, and coming soon, Dan, edibles. So there you go. In case you were wondering what Mike Tyson was up to, now you know. He is a marijuana farmer who smokes a shitload of weed. So... you know, Dan, I don't know if I know anybody who spent $40,000 on weed in their entire life, and this guy's spending it in a month.
Well, like I said, did he clarify? Is it for the business himself?
Yeah, you know, they make it seem like, and you know, this is, they don't really say, but they make it seem like they're the ones smoking it. So, I mean, I'm under the impression they must be selling some of it to make enough money to do this. But, yeah, you know, they make it seem like they're the ones that it's, no surprise there's people who live at the ranch with him. You know, there's always those people who want to be, you know, around guys like Tyson and anybody who's made a lot of money. They have their what you can only call hanger-oners. So, you know, I'm assuming this includes all of them. But, yeah, they don't go into a lot of detail. They just kind of implied that they're the ones smoking all of it. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you meant it was like a resort where you could go there.
Well, I guess that's what the plan is now. They're actually going to try to turn it into something like that where they can have guests. So, you know, maybe someday you will be able to visit. So, but yeah, I thought that was humorous. That's what I wanted to start you off with yesterday, but you know, it was kind of like, obviously we had the issue when we weren't quite here. So, but I thought that one was kind of humorous. And then today I saw, and luckily apparently nobody was injured, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. Was on his way to Bristol Motor Speedway. You know, the NASCAR race is there, actually starting tonight with the Truck Series. And his plane crashed. But luckily for him, himself, his wife, and their one-year-old daughter were all okay. You know, it appears that the plane ran off the runway and caught fire, which is just got to be ridiculous to have to go through. And, you know, like I said, luckily no issues. Apparently even the dog got off, and then they also mentioned that his sister Kelly said that the pilots on board and that everyone was safe and taken to the hospital for their evaluation. But yeah, so luckily nothing major there. It doesn't say, I'm guessing, you know, he may make it to the track for the truck race tonight, but more like a guess, he'll be there tomorrow for the Xfinity race. So if you are a Dale Jr. fan, you know, don't worry, everything's fine. And you know, Dan, he's one of these guys, and I know we get these reports from time to time. Even though he's no longer racing, he's still like the most popular guy. Do you find that kind of odd?
Well, you know, what do you say about all the new drivers? What aren't they doing to kind of boost their own popularity?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously a lot comes with his last name. You know, his father, depending on who you ask, you know, maybe the greatest race car driver of all time. So, you know, and I know Dale, you know, Dale had his moments. And you know, as tough as it is to say, he didn't really live up to his father, but that's, you know, that's no shame there at all with the, you know, with the stuff his father put out there. And, you know, he does a nice job of commentary. I've heard his commentary. He's really good. So, you know, I mean, obviously he'll be able to do that, you know, as long as, you know, he wants. But, yeah, it's, you know, Dan, I'm sitting here trying to think who else would be, you know, the most popular NASCAR guy. I mean, you know, your guy Clint Boyer, you know, I don't think Duck Dynasty's on the air anymore, so he doesn't really have an outlet.
The Bush Brothers.
Yeah, and they always seem to manage to get themselves in trouble. I mean, you know, Tony Stewart's out of the business now, and he was more, I'd say, notorious than he was anything. You know, Jimmy Johnson has been bad the last couple seasons. Jeff Gordon's retired. You know, Kevin Harvick does those Mobile One commercials. Would he be the most popular driver?
I mean, he's got the promotion from NASCAR to do TV, but, you know, his level is rising, but I'm surprised Logano's name isn't really out there.
So, yeah, you know, and I'm yeah, it's weird because I'm sitting here trying to think who would be, you know, the most recognizable or, you know, the most popular guy. And it's, I don't know if I could pick one, you know, there's really like nobody who stands out like there was when they were really at their peak of interest. And I'm sure that has, you know, a little bit to do with why, you know, ratings have kind of sagged. You know, they're not in the same position they were, but, you know, do you think they have to find a guy here, or could they do it with this kind of what you call ever-changing face of guys on top?
I think they need to definitely find a guy. You know, maybe you're LeBron or Mike Trout. But, you know, isn't Keselowski or even Truex kind of a popular name?
Yeah, you know, I would say popular, but I don't know if it's
household.
Right. It's not a, you know, a guy that, you know, obviously they're going to have fans, you know, and I was wondering if maybe, you know, a Chase Elliott could be that guy because, you know, he's carrying a name. You know, his father, Bill, was a fantastic race car driver and actually my personal favorite when I used to watch NASCAR with my friend. Bill Elliott was the guy that I used to root for. So I thought maybe he could be that guy, or because I think they need a young guy, right? It can't be, you know, like we mentioned Harvick, we mentioned Bowyer. It really can't be those guys because, you know, who knows how much longer they're going to be around.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, do you think that the sponsor makes a slight difference in it?
Yeah, you know, I think,
well, not,
money
not the,
would sponsor,
not the team sponsor so much as the Monster sponsor. I mean, you know, when when it was the Sprint Cup, you know, I mean, cell phone companies really, you know, either it's not going to deter you. Well, I have Comcast and I think it's the best, and you have AT&T and you think it's the best, and your roommate has Verizon.
Awesome.
She thinks that's the best. I mean, you know, no one's really going to kind of get a negative image, honestly, from a cell phone company. Whereas Monster is an energy drink, and the energy drinks kind of can slightly come with a stigma. But I also understand at the same time that it may reflect their general audience. You know, because it's definitely more of a working-class, blue-collar kind of sport. And, you know, the guys that watch it are working hard and might be up at 4 or 5 in the morning. And seeing that guy at the gas station at, you know, 4:30 grabbing two Monsters for $6. So, I mean, I don't know. And I think it's also hard with the way their scheduling is, being in the summer. You know, a lot of the times, a day race on a Sunday. Yeah, it's not like the NFL.
Well, I know I can tell you, I don't know if it has anything to do with NASCAR sponsorship, but Monster is a very popular drink at my work in the morning. You know, there's cans of it all over the place. It's definitely something that, you know, they're drinking at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning at my work. So, but I'm kind of under the impression that it doesn't have a whole lot to do with NASCAR. But that's just, so. You know, just one of those things. And, yeah, I wonder, Dan, you know, I'm thinking about it. You know, obviously, you know, you and I have been to a lot of sporting events, and we see a lot of things. Have you seen a Monster commercial that features a NASCAR driver? I don't believe I have.
No. No, you're right. Mostly it's that the mobile oil.
Yeah, you know, they got Kevin Harvick, and I know Clint Bowyer is in a couple of them with the mobile one with him now. But, yeah, even other than that, I don't know if I've seen any other, you know, even like during the races, there's not really any other commercials with NASCAR drivers in it.
I'll have to pay attention to see if I see, well, you know, and the one you see a little bit more would be Fox or NBC Sports or whichever term we're in for NASCAR.
Yeah, we're at it's NBC now. The truck race tonight, the truck's still on Fox. They're on Fox Sports 1, so if you're free about 7:30, turn it on, because at Bristol, the trucks are fun to watch. I would assume there'll probably be a lot of caution, the short track, a lot of beating and banging. So, you know, check that out if you get a chance. It's, you know, tonight is the trucks, tomorrow is the Xfinity, and then Saturday night we get the NASCAR race. It's Saturday night at Busch, so it's, you know, should be an interesting weekend. You know, and they are getting, you know, they are getting close to the end of the year, you know, as it is, you know, they're going to be heading into the playoffs. So, you know, it's crunch time for a lot of guys to try to get in. So, but yeah, I just kind of, like I said, I thought that was, you know, the more I think about the commercials, it's just kind of odd that I haven't seen any. So, no. You know, and then I don't know how to describe this, Dan. I guess the only way we kind of could put it into context is I guess it goes from bad to worst for DeMarcus Cousins. You know, he signed with the Warriors last year on a real low money deal to kind of prove he was healthy and, you know, win a title in the same thing. And while he did win the title, he didn't really prove he was healthy. You know, he had what did he hurt? I'm trying to remember. Did he hurt was he the Achilles guy? You know, the Warriors had so many injuries, I don't remember, and I actually just gave credit for the title they didn't win. I'm just so used to giving them championships. But, you know, he signed with the Lakers this offseason, Dan, and now it's being reported that he tore the ACL in his left knee, and the projections have him missing the entire season. So, and it wasn't Achilles tear. At least I had that one. He had an Achilles tear in January and then a quadricep tear in April. So I don't know what's going on with this guy, but he's tearing pretty much everything. So yeah, I don't believe he's that old, Dan, but are we just kind of looking at a, you know, another big man who's kind of breaking down because of the pounding of the game?
But they have enough days off that it shouldn't be a pounding of the game.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. I'm trying to figure out how old he is here. Yeah, he'll be 30. Oh, no, he just turned 29 2 days ago. So happy belated birthday. And you know, he's been in the NBA, what's it look like here, 7 years. Yeah, and, you know, he, you know, starting back, you know, in the 2016-17 season is when the injury first cropped up. And then, you know, last year he only played 30 games with the Warriors. The year before that he played 48 with the Pelicans. So, yeah, you know, as weird as it is to say, are we looking at a 29-year-old guy that is done?
Family, I think so.
You know, and then, of course, you got to wonder how this is going to affect the Lakers. You know, I'm sure, you know, the NBA will probably make a special provision so they can go out and sign, you know, whoever they wanted, absolutely no cost for their salary cap, but that's just kind of what the NBA does for the Lakers. So we'll see how that one goes, but I, you know, this has got to, you know, I know they've been favorites in anything, but this has got to diminish their championship hopes a little bit, right?
I think their hopes are too high to begin with.
Yeah, you know, sadly, I think you and I are the only two guys who actually thought their hopes were too high. Everybody said that they were right on and they were going to, they were going to roll through the playoffs and just kind of wipe everybody out, but you know, we'll now how this works out. But yeah, I don't know. I haven't really been keeping up with who's who's still out there, so I don't even know who they could get if they wanted to if they wanted to try to sign somebody.
I'm sure they could trade for J.R. Reed, right?
So, Smith, you mean? Your guy, J.R. Smith?
Oh, Smith. Who's Reed? Did I just make that one up?
No, he actually used to be a player. He was a big star in North Carolina that never really made it in the NBA, but at least he had a player's name.
Yeah.
And he could have called him J.R. Ewing, and that would have been really awkward. So... But I believe he's a free agent. So, you know, maybe they could just sign him if they wanted him. There is an interesting name here in this article, Dan. There, how about Joakim Noah? They think he could be a preferred target now for the Lakers.
Can he even walk?
I don't know, but, you know, that makes him a preferred target, I guess. So, looking, there are some other big men out there whose names people would know. There's Maurice Sprace, Martin Gortat, Amir Johnson. Nene is still out there. I think he's about 50. Kenneth Faried, and then I believe it's Salaha. I think that's how it's pronounced, along with Noah. So there are some options, you know, if the Lakers want to go looking for another big man, which you got to think if Cousins is going to miss the whole year, they have to, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and Paul Gasol is going to get somebody for a year.
I forgot who it was. You know, because if they didn't sign anybody, that would be too many minutes for Anthony Davis to play, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. You know, that would just be wrong and bad if guys had to play minutes. We don't like guys have to do that. So. But, yeah, just, you know, just kind of some of the one odd miscellaneous stuff that I came yesterday, or, you know, yeah, a little bit yesterday, a little bit today, but I was chuckling, we all know Mr. Fantasy and I share a money league team, and I decided this week, Dan, I thought it would be a good idea to start Cole Hamels because he's pitching against the Phillies and they've been having their struggles, and oddly they didn't struggle against Cole Hamels last night. Just my luck, huh? So yeah, I was kind of like, yeah, that was a fantastic move. And oddly, what I decided to do is I decided to start Cole Hamels over Robbie Ray because Robbie Ray was making a start in Colorado. And I just don't like to start the guys when they're in Colorado. You know, it's the stigma. You know, I know there are other really good hitters, Parks, but there's just something about Colorado where it's kind of like, yeah, no, I don't want to throw this guy in. Because oddly, I thought he would end up having an outing very much like Hamels had. And all that ended up happening was Ray had a decent outing. It wasn't great. It's not like he went out and no-hit the Rockies in Colorado. He just wasn't as bad as Hamels. But then he got hurt, and now he's on the IL. So I had a pitcher who pitched horribly for me that I was dumb enough to start. And then the guy I probably just should have stuck with because he'd been pretty good for me all year, I didn't start, and he got hurt. So I am looking at, like, having to have big outings from, like, Sonny Gray and Jeff Samardzija to help my week out. I think I have Justin Verlander to start coming up here, too, so that could be a plus. But, yeah, just some rough luck that the Phillies decided that they were going to wait for Cole Hamels to pitch before they decided to hit.
Yeah, I have him on my team. Thank you very much.
Yeah, like I was saying, I figured with the way the Phillies were slumping, it would be a pretty good matchup. You know, I was like, okay, I can get him in, and I started him over Robbie Ray, and Ray wasn't great, but he went out and got hurt. So now not only did I get a bad outing from Cole Hamill, I've got a starter on the DL, on the IL, excuse me, IL. So.
Yeah. Well, it's come to the point where are the Phillies that good, or they just happen to be playing the Cubs on their own?
Yeah, it's almost tough to tell. I mean, I don't know what the hell the Cubs' problem is on the road, but it's ridiculous. And
these games are kind of what's disappointing me in Major League Baseball right now. I mean, a team like the Cubs shouldn't be doing this, just like a team like the Astros shouldn't lose 11 to whatever they lost to the White Sox.
Yeah.
The other day.
So, well, how goofy is it that in the seven games the Astros and the White Sox played, the White Sox actually won four of them? So,
yeah,
it's just kind of like, oh, okay. So,
yeah, well, I'm sour because I bring you my picture. He got his ass handed to him by the White Sox.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, I know the feeling. Well, you had Greinke and Hamels. That was a great night for you, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, and it was weird because, like, when I was setting the lineup up, I was like, yeah, this is the right move. I'll make this switch because even though I know, well, basically with the way the baseball is this year, every park is a hitter's ballpark. But I still don't like the start guys in Colorado. There's just kind of that stigma I have, even though, you could say the same thing about, Cincinnati or Arizona, or, like I said, just about every park is a hitter's park. I made the switch, and boy, did it blow up in my face. So, we'll see if my team can bounce back. I think he lost me 11 points. So I have to, we're still in our games. We play three games a week in this league. So we're still in all the games. We're actually really competitive. So I just need some bigger pitching performances. I think I have good old Justin Marge coming up. And then I still have Verlander still this week. So I'm hoping I'm okay.
Now, kind of getting on the baseball talk, you mentioned Samardzija. I feel like he's having a better season than he's had previously, and the Giants weren't total sellers at the deadline. Do you think they're prepping for next year and just happy to not be finishing at the bottom?
Yeah, it's tough to say, They weren't complete sellers and they weren't complete buyers. I think they made, they made some smart moves. The big key is going to be, can they bring Bumgarner back? And that'll really be the kind of the off-season key on what they're going to do. If they can find a way to get him to come back, and obviously, if they could get in the wild card, I know they've slipped a 4.5 back now, so they're you know, the hot streak is kind of over. You know, and I think Arizona is the team that had kind of picked up in that division. It's weird because that division seems like the Dodgers always win, and then there's another team behind the Dodgers that's always winning as well, be it, you know, Arizona, San Francisco, San Diego, or Colorado. And, you know, right now it seems Arizona is the team playing the next best baseball besides the Dodgers. Oh, good Lord, I didn't realize the Dodgers are 9-1 in their last 10 games. Holy cow. So they're super hot. But, yeah, so, you know, it's going to be a big team. You know, we'll have to see. But, you know, they seem to be in a decent position. You know, I mean, you know, there's still some questions about, you know, I think what the outfield's going to look like, but, you know, that Mike Yastrzemski has looked better than I think it's not. So you wonder
if he's
a guy. But, yeah, they definitely have some questions on their regular roster more than I think the pitching staff. If, you know, they can just keep the pitching staff together, they should be okay.
Now, you know, when it comes to the Giants and Noah, is he the GM or the president, the Dodgers guy?
I believe he's, you know, I believe his title is president of baseball operations.
Okay. So they, well, let's just turn it over. They've, you know, kind of got new front office people. You know, you don't expect the team to go from, you know, I feel like they were in last year, to first, and especially in Major League Baseball, that doesn't happen. But do you kind of give them more of a plus grade this year, trying to, you know, coming in with somewhat of a new front office, trying to figure things out to get the Giants back to where they used to be? And then how do you think it's going to play out with getting a new manager? And, you know, is that really going to affect Baumgartner's decision?
You know, you think it might, because depending on, you know, what route they go with the manager, that may tip him off on what the team is going to do. You know, if they're going to try to go through this rebuild with, you know, we've been over some of their contracts. If they decide to do it, it's not going to be easy to give away, like, you know, the Brandon Belt, Evan Longoria, Brandon Crawford type of contracts there. So it's definitely kind of up in the air. You know, and then, you know, they've had some prospects that, you know, we've kind of been waiting for. I mean, you know, we've heard the Austin Slater name a few times. You know, Steven Duggar came up and had a little bit of success. But it hasn't been the, you know, kind of the success that I thought they were going to have. You know, they finally dealt Mack Williamson. I believe he's in Seattle now. You know, they do have Joey Bart at AA, so you wonder how long before he takes over full time and Buster Posey has to find another position. So, you know, there are some, you know, interesting, you know, wheels and pieces and stuff going around here. But, yeah, I think that just that big tip is once they see, you know, what happens with Baumgartner, you know, is he going to commit to the Giants or does he go somewhere else? I believe that will really tip us off on what this team is going to do.
Yeah. And now, you know, I just thought about this. I didn't realize, you know, it's been 9 years since they won their first championship this side of the decade. And who was the rookie at the time was Buster Posey. And I think it's just hard to, even when you see him on TV and a few commercials he's in, still has a baby face. I mean, is he to that stage where you start trying to wind him down or get him out from behind the plate and maybe get him at first base?
Yeah, it does seem time where, you know, with the, you know, with the injuries, and it does, I think this is the first year where it seems like it's affecting his offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, you kind of look at it and it's like, yeah, maybe it's time to try to, you know, start to phase him out a little bit. And, you know, who knows, maybe they can do something where, you know, Bart is his backup next year and he can kind of learn the ropes at the major league level behind Posey, you know, then, you know, then kind of take over the next year and let Posey go to first. And, you know, that would push Belt to the outfield if, you know, he's not traded.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and, you know, like you said, if they're able to land, you know, re-land or however you want to put it, secure Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey moves out from behind the plate, do you think he almost becomes a personal catcher on Bumgarner?
You know, that might be something, you know, obviously that would be up to Bumgarner if he decides, hey, I want this guy, you know, they're going to do it for him. So, you know, and I don't know what their relationship is, but yeah, I don't think that would be a problem. I mean, you know, in reality, that would be the, you know, the perfect spot for him. He catches once a week and he plays first the rest of the week.
Kind of the reverse of Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah. So, you know, but like, you know, like I was mentioning, you know, this seems to be the first year it's affecting his numbers. You know, he's been in 89 games because he's had some injuries. He's at 255, and the weird part, Dan, is he's only at 6 homers.
Oof.
You know, and I know he's not a huge power guy, but he's always a, you know, 15 to 20 homer guy. So. You know, and oddly, kind of looking at the team, that seems to be their one weakness. I didn't realize that to lead the Giants in home runs, you only need 15, and it's Kevin Pillar.
And he barely came over. Or did he come over this year or last year?
He came over this year, but he has played in 116 games. There's two guys tied at 14, Dan, and one of them is Pablo Sandoval.
Wow.
who doesn't play full time?
I was going to say, what are his games at? For starts.
So,
there.
You know, like he's been in 107 games, but it's only 271 at bat because, you know, the Ooh. Pinch hitting. He's actually bumped back really well. He's 69. So that's good for a guy coming off the bench because, you know, that's still the hardest thing to do in baseball. Hey, get a bat and go hit against this guy who's throwing 150.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, you know, like, you know, Brandon Belt used to be a 30-homer guy. He's sitting at 12. Even worse, his average is 227. So, you know, I mean, looking at this offense, it's hard to believe that they're actually competing. So, you know,
well, and you
I
would
mean,
think
it's just
playing in Colorado and like Phoenix, you brought up all the, well, like you said, almost all the parks are hitter parks now, but just those few are, you know, a little bit easier and they spend more time there.
So, yeah, you know, and I know like, you know, Alex Dickerson gave him a really big shot in the arm when, you know, he came up. I know he was dinged up, but I think he's talking now. So, you know, maybe they can keep rolling like that. But, you know, when you start looking, really, as of right now, their best regular is Yastrzemski, and he's only hitting 267. He has 13 bombs. You know, he's playing full-time. But then it's been Pillar. So, you know, it's guys you're not expecting, and there's really just no power in this lineup. You know, and I don't know, maybe they have a big-time power hitter in the minors that, you know, kind of like we talked, it was kind of humorous. You and I talked about Aquino from the Reds, and now the guys come up and hit like 50 homers in, you know, 50 at-bats. So, you know, I don't know if the Giants have a guy like that. I know their minor league system isn't really looked on as one of the better ones, but, you know, you never know what's hanging out down there. So it's definitely possible. I wanted to look, and I'm realizing now that I think I'm on the wrong screen, so that's not going to help me as well. But well, I guess we'll just figure that out as we go along. But all right, so I believe Dan should be on break here, so let's catch up. We had some afternoon action today, being Thursday. You know, it is getaway day and stuff, so let's get some scores here. And there we go. I'm stalling as my internet catches up. Don't tell anybody, okay? So come on, where are you at? There we go. You can sing a song. I did see Cody Bellinger was the first guy to reach 40 home runs this year, so that was a big deal. I didn't see the homer. I actually had to, I was making some food when he hit it. Let's see. It looks like we got the Mariners beat the Tigers today 7-2. If you had Tommy Malone, he picked up a win there. The Marlins actually are beating up on the Dodgers right now. It's 13-7. It's the top of the ninth, so the Dodgers should have one more at bat. Do we have any other finals here? No, I thought we had one more final, but I guess not. Just those two games. We do have the Indians and the Yankees are just underway, and so are the Cubs and the Phillies. So that's what you got going on right now. You know, if I remember when the Dodger games go final, I will throw that to you. But let's take a peek at the rest of the schedule then, and see what's going on. I mentioned we've got the Cardinals are in Cincinnati tonight. The Mets are at Atlanta. The Twins are at the Rangers. The Giants, which we were talking about here, are at the Diamondbacks. The White Sox are out in Los Angeles to play the Angels. And the Astros are at Oakland. So there you go. That's where we sit as of now. Who's starting tonight? Anybody we got? Oh, it looks like Marcus Stroman makes a start for the Mets. Yu Darvish gets the start for the Cubs. I think Dan, I don't know if Dan has Andrew Heaney again this year. I know I used to have him every year. He's getting the start there for the Angels. I almost said the Astros. Good Lord, what is going on there? So, but yeah, you know, so it's a lighter night. I don't know if any of the game. I know the MLB Network has a game. They were showing Dodgers Marlins, and then they were going to a second game, and I don't remember who it is. It's actually not listed here, but they have another game. So you can check that out if you're interested there. I wanted to look and see what I can find. I actually was correct. Farhan Zaidi, the guy they hired from the Dodgers, he is president of baseball operations, and the Giants actually currently do not have a general manager. Brian Sabian is executive vice president of baseball operations. So that's how they work that out. So there you go. You're all caught up on what the Giants have going on there. Let's see. What else is there? Anything else like big or hot in baseball? I did see. It looks like Jake Arrieta is going to cash it in for the season. You know, he's been dealing with bone chips in the elbow. And it looks like he's decided that it's just, bone spur, excuse me, in his pitching elbow. And he did go on the 10-day IL yesterday. And, you know, he tried to make some starts, and, you know, the innings weren't there. So he decided he's going to go and have the surgery and get it over with. It looks like Zach Eflin is going to take his spot in the rotation. So we'll see. I believe Arrieta is under contract. I think they've got one more year there with him. So he should be recovered and up and rolling to get to spring training. Yeah, he is signed for next year, and then there are a couple options here on his contract. So it looks like he is definitely done. Check to see if they have him expected to return by spring training, but they don't have it. You got to figure you know, if he's going to have the surgery now, by the time spring training rolls around, he'll be just fine. So yeah, or at least they'll find a start working, you know, working out. So yeah, another kind of shot to that Phillies rotation that hasn't been great to begin with. And you know, Arrieta was definitely one of the guys that weren't great. He had like a 4.60 ERA. But you know, I don't know if you know, how Zach Eflin will be, or you know, if it'll cost the Phillies much. So we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, if you're a fantasy owner, you can definitely write Jake Arrieta off if you haven't already.
I didn't write him in because never mind. You know, but at least he's smart enough to realize, like, you just can't keep doing it to yourself. Sometimes you got to throw the towel in, and, you know, there's always next year.
Yeah, it's probably better to go and have the surgery now and get it done with. So...
at least he'll still get that other $12 million for the year. This half.
You know, try to get ready for next year. So, you know, then believe it or not, Dan, I saw that somebody else is going to give Matt Harvey a chance. He signed with the A's on a minor league deal.
Now, with the way Harvey's pitched, I mean, you know, and I forgot his attitude. No, I don't want to say his attitude, but you know what I mean. Just his attitude towards pitching now. Do you try to steer away from being a starter? Try to get him in the pen, or even use him as the quote opener?
You know, you do wonder if maybe a move to the bullpen could be beneficial to him. Because for whatever reason, starting hasn't worked out the last, what do we got here? 4 years. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, after coming out of the gate, you know, on fire, he had really fantastic years. You know, even after coming back from the injury, you know, he missed a little 2014. He came back in 2015, and he was really good. And then I don't know what went wrong. I mean, I know he had some more injuries to deal with and stuff, but it's just been downhill after that. And, you know, this year may have been the worst. He made 12 starts for the Angels, and his ERA was 7.09. So, yeah, I don't know, you know, and I mean, the A's have had good luck with these kind of guys. Remember, Edwin Jackson was lights out for them last year. Brett Anderson was so good last year, they brought him back this year, and he's doing pretty well. You know, Trevor Cahill went back there and pitched really well, so well that I believe the Angels signed him and actually overpaid him. He got hurt and hasn't done anything for them.
And it's not funny that he got hurt. It's just, I just feel like that's where pitchers go to get hurt, though.
Yeah, it's literally like that's where pitchers go to end their career. So it seems like if you end up with the Angels, it's just not going to work out for you. And here's Cahill. He's been in 25 games, 11 starts. He's 3-7 with a 6.40 ERA. So,
I mean,
you know, and that was that's coming off last year with Oakland. He was in 20 games. He made 20 starts. He was 7-4 with a 3.76 ERA. So there's definitely a difference with what he's got going on. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure what the A's, you know, do with some of these pitchers, but it generally seems to work out, you know, really well for them. And I know a lot of the young guys they have are just, you know, they're dinged up, so they kind of have to rely on these guys. You know, to be fair, though, I can say so far the Homer Bailey thing hasn't worked. He hasn't been very good since going over there. But, you know, like I said, you know, Mike Fiers, who's a guy, you know, a lot of teams didn't look at, who did he throw no hitter this year? He's 11-3 with a 3.30 ERA. So, you know, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, kind of odd how they do it. And, you know, I know it's only been two starts for Tanner Roark there, but his ERA is 2.31. You know, he was terrible with the Reds.
Yeah.
So, but we'll, you know, we'll see if, you know, they can keep it together long enough to find their way to a wild card spot. I think they're a couple games out. So, you know, maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll figure it out. But they kind of do it with Mears. You know, you wonder if they had like an ace at the top of the rotation, if, you know, with the way they play, if they compete with the Astros.
Yeah, well, and if they had Sean Manaea.
Yeah, you know, well, Manaea or what? I think Daniel Megden is hurt again.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a guy. Well, you know, I know they brought in Marco Estrada and he got hurt right away. They had another prospect, and I can't remember who it was. They may have actually given up on him.
Well, no, they brought up, I think it's Chris Bassett. I don't know his first name. I know it's C. But he's been pitching well enough to where I've been given, you know, here's two crappy guys that will play maybe twice a week for this pitcher who's pretty hot right now because getting close to the playoffs, and I need a 12th starting pitcher.
Well, you know, then remember how well, you know, Frankie Montas was doing for them until he ran into that, you know, little bit of a drug suspension there. So
I forgot about that.
You know, I mean, he was fantastic. Let me see. I think I got his numbers here. Yeah, he had made 15 starts. He was 9-2 with a 2.7 ERA. So, you know, and I have seen lately, I don't know what his numbers are. I'm wondering if maybe I can find him here. But there's been a lot of, you know, the experts saying that they need to bring up their top prospect, the ace top prospect as a pitcher, Jesus, and I'm probably going to butcher this last name, Luzardo. You know, there's been a lot of talk that they need to bring him up. But I don't know, you know, he hasn't made a ton of starts this year. He's only been in 7 games with 5 starts. But through 3 of their minor league levels, the last one being AAA, he is 2-0 with a 2.22 ERA. But I just don't know if, you know, he's been in, this is his 3rd season, and he's only logged 177 innings. So I just don't know if you bring a guy like that up and toss him in a pennant race, do you?
No, I don't think you do.
You know, yeah, just I don't think, you know, maybe you make one September spot start or something, but I can't see him, you know, being a guy you would plug in. You know, I know the other guy that they had counted on was that AJ, I believe it's Puck, or it might be Puck. Yeah, it's Puck, P-U-K. But he's had another injury-prone year. He's only pitched in 16 games, mostly in relief. His ERA is just under 5. So I still think, you know, he's a guy that's going to have to wait on. So it doesn't look like they're going to get a ton of help out of their minor league system. But, you know, again, they seem to be able to work the magic with, you know, guys you would think, I mean, let's face it, it's guys you look at as washed-up veterans. You know, I mean, we had Brett Anderson here with the Cubs, and he was an embarrassment. So, you you know, just didn't the Mendoza.
Didn't the A's pick up Fernando?
Didn't they trade him? They ended up releasing him, but he was bad for them. His ERA was 9.42 for them.
Yeah.
But where did he land? I think he landed in Washington, where every other reliever lands. He's been a lot more respectable with the Nationals. He's been in 18 games. He actually has a couple saves. He is 0-3, but his ERA is just 3.45. So he's been a lot more respectable there than he was with the A's. It didn't work with the A's after he was good for them when they got him last.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I always grabbed Fernando beginning of the season and, you know, closer to the deadline. Well, you know, he gets released by every team that he signs with basically in the beginning of the year. But I just throw him in the NA for a week, and he's usually back with another team.
Yeah, you know, he has bounced around quite a bit. I think he's 11. So he's pitched for 11 different teams in his 17-year major.
Not enough.
Yeah, well, you know, he's not Edwin Jackson, but, you know, he's made the rounds. And, you know, he is 42 now, so who knows if this is it for him. But, you know, I mean, all in all, he's had a really good career. You know, he has 327 career saves. So
I've enjoyed watching him over the years with everybody. And I know it's frowned upon, but I kind of, for him, just for the sake of it, I wish he could have been the guy that logged the most teams.
Yeah. But, all right, well, we're running out of show here, Dan, so I got to ask you about this because I just saw the video today. Apparently, Conor McGregor had an incident in a bar back in April where he punched a guy in the face. Are you ready for this one? Because the guy wouldn't try the whiskey that McGregor puts out. Now, I don't know how or why, but for some reason, they're still investigating this in Ireland, even though it's pretty clear on the video that McGregor punches the guy in the face while the guy's just sitting at the bar. So he basically punched a defenseless guy in the face. My guess is they don't want to do anything because he's Conor McGregor. This follows an incident where I believe he took a cell phone out of somebody's hand who took his picture and smashed it. What the hell do you do with this guy now, Dan? You know, I believe, you know, he lost his last UFC fight. He threatened to have another, you know, boxing match with Conor, you know, with Floyd Mayweather. I don't think that's going to happen. Has this guy's shine worn off, or is he still a star?
I think his shine is starting to wear off, but sadly, I think that head has gotten way too big and it's about to burst. I mean, if you would have watched the Netflix special or Netflix thing on him that I watched over the whenever we were doing that movie thing, you know, I found a newfound respect for Conor McGregor and what he's gone through. But I think from what you're describing, I think that humble guy is no longer there.
So, yeah, and, well, you know, Dana White said he's going to talk to him over the weekend, so maybe we'll have some resolution. We can talk about it on Monday, but Dan and I got to get out of here for today. Oh, and of course, we're leaving. Now, I'm going to end up until Monday, but I'll be tomorrow with number two. So, meet us on the road here. While I'm going, though, first time we're going to check out the new blog that went up yesterday. While you're over there, hit the link. Put down on the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed. You know it, that's the most fun radio. Of course, feel free to look Dan and I up on Twitter as well. If you still follow with me, Dan, a lot of thanks for you. I'm glad to see you. If you missed the podcast, just head on over to Facebook.com to listen to anybody.
SportsTimeRadio.com.